Wake up, sleepyheads. This is CJSF 90.1 FM.
And you're tuning in to Slumber Party.
Welcome, welcome. This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, community radio from Simon Fraser University. We broadcast on the unceded, stolen territory of the Coquitlam, Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh. You can listen online at cjsf.ca or on our radio app, which you can download from the App or Google Store, depending on your device. Keep up to date on our social media at linktree/CJSF Radio and learn more by visiting our website, cjsf.ca. Got a request? Text or call us at 778-782-CJSF, which is 2573. Welcome everybody again. This is Slumber Party every 6 to 7 on Tuesdays. I'm your host for this hour, DJ Coco. As always, I say I have DJ Star as the other host, but she is still off in Germany, and she was supposed to get back today, but since we all know there's been some issues with Air Canada right now and with the union, she wasn't able to come back in time. But she'll be here next week, I believe. So very exciting. We'll probably won't have a full topic. It will more likely just be a catch up of everything that has happened in the last 4 months. And maybe some sharing to the radio as well of what DJ Star has done in Germany. I've got a little quote today, which I haven't done in a really long time. I realized, and this isn't an actual quote. It's more of a YouTube title that I really liked. So I have no idea who said this. There is no official person who's quoted this online. So I'll just throw it out here. But the YouTube title, I guess not really a quote, but the YouTube title is that quote, "You don't have to hustle to be worthy," quote. And I really like this, and I need to take a page out of my own book for this one, because I have struggled a lot with tying my worth to achievement. And so this is a hard pill to swallow, especially in our capitalistic society, as we all know, that we're always striving to be better, always trying to get that job, get that promotion. Look how many friends I have. Look how much money you make. And this is all broadcast and you can see the top 0.0001% on social media who are broadcasting all of their special talents and things that they've done, and look at my house, look at my boat kind of thing. And this quote or this title kind of makes you take a step back and think for a second, because we all place a lot of value on our achievement to be worthy. Not just me, many others. And I can kind of relate this with another story that I not learned, but it was very unfortunate to hear today, of just life in general. And so it's easier to understand this quote if we can take a step back and look at life overall. So what happened today is that I work as a research assistant at the local hospital, and one of our previous research patients, we've met with lots of people for one of the studies, and very, very kind man. He was 50, he was in his late 50s, still very young, and he had pancreatic cancer, and I just found out today that he had passed away. And this was really hard for me to go through when I heard of it, because he was so sweet, and it didn't even seem like he had not that much longer to live, because his medical history was healthy. With pancreatic cancer, you'd usually assume the risk factors of having hypertension or having diabetes, type 1, type 2 diabetes, high BMI, obesity, and things like that. But he had none of these things. He didn't drink. He didn't smoke. He didn't have high blood pressure, as I said. No obesity, no diabetes. I was shocked. And it made me take a step back and think, holy cow, this totally healthy guy had just only a couple months to live. And it made me think of just life in general, of that, why are we hustling so hard and trying to impress other people? And this is not some big revelation. This is definitely occurring to a lot of humans out there, that we should really just take a step back and try to be happy and do the things that we want to do, and not thinking about what other people think of you, as cheesy and stereotypical as that is. But that was my kind of moment today, where I was like, holy, you know, I should take things one step at a time and stop being so hard on myself for not getting that scholarship or not working and getting complete straight A's, and having billions of friends, kind of thing. And so myself and the other research assistant, we both meet all of them together. So we were in a little bit of a funk today. But as my grandma always says to me, and I try to take as heart as much as I can, is that just try to be happy. You know, just the goal in life is to be happy and do the things that make you happy. Not saying that you have to be lazy. I try to go by the mentality of working hard and playing hard, as much as I can, because it's nice to work hard. It's nice to help others and know that you're making a difference in the world. But at the same time, you have to take a step back and try not to work too hard, because even if in your free time you are trying to work on your skills and, I don't know, trying to learn something new that will help you in the workforce, or look good on your resume, kind of thing. And it's good just to sit down, read a fictional book, or just go outside, play some badminton, without any pressure on trying to be better at badminton or trying to just build your skills, but just enjoy the time you have on Earth. So that was that. So a little bit of a, not pessimistic, but just a reminder for myself and for you too, that it's good to take things slow, and savor every moment. Moving on, I am planning to go into a couple songs before I jump into the mini topic for today, which I'm going to be discussing a bit of seed cycling. I have not heard of this concept before, but I have been volunteering with a foraging company that's local here in the Lower Mainland, and I write some of the blog posts for the company. And she put this topic and gave it to me to potentially explore. And I have been exploring it. Quite interesting. I have some opinions on it, but I will give it my best shot and give it some time on the radio for you to hear as well. But before we do that, as I said, I have a couple songs to introduce, and they are all, pretty much all, actually we have one, but they're all female artists. I put in a lot of Canadian artists for this episode, also because we might be getting audited by the Community Radio Association, but I normally put Canadian female artists anyways, so this is just a little extra than normal, but I really like the songs. And as well, I'm going to be playing some more Kate Trinata later on. The music is broken up in this episode as indie, and then a couple of indie rock, and then we're going into electronic. I think this is the move lately, so we'll head into that. This first one I'm going to be playing is from the artist Amy Millen. She recently released an album called I Went to Find You. And I really like this song, Kiss That Summer. So we're going to play it here. Enjoy.
Thanks to my buddy's beer and joint. Here's the keys, joint.
Yo, I'm not driving. I'm way too stoned. How are you feeling, beer?
Oh, since we had that talk, I'm not driving tonight at all.
What about you, Dave?
You only had a couple of drinks.
And only a couple of puffs.
I don't drink and drive. No way I'm getting behind the wheel when I smoked weed, too.
How are we getting home, then?
Come on, Dave. Take one for the team.
Don't let weed and alcohol influence your decision to drive.
Yeah, I need a ride.
A message from Mad Canada.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back. This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, community radio from Simon Fraser University. You're tuning into Slumber Party, and I'm your host for this hour, DJ Coco. The last song you just heard was called Bits by the artist No Joy. This was a recently released single this year. And then the one right before that, you heard I See You Too by the band Tops from their album Bury the Key, which was also released this year. So very fun. I believe they're from Montreal, Quebec. So some Quebecois bands on here. And I'm going to jump straight into my mini topic for today because I'm feeling a little prepared. So as I was saying from before, I have been volunteering with this local foraging company that was started in the Lower Mainland. I did a foraging workshop and I really enjoyed it, so I reached out to the lady who started it and now write some of the blog posts. So I've been doing some blog posts about talking about antioxidants, some forage foods with antioxidants that you can find. I did some history about Himalayan blackberries, which you may have noticed last week. And then this week I'm talking about seed cycling for the blog post and we'll be sharing it here and some of my own personal thoughts on here as well. I'm kind of combining the two volunteer opportunities together and meshing them together in a way, but I enjoy the idea. Hopefully you do too, because it feels like my thoughts are more organized when I have them written down a little bit longer ago. But anyways, seed cycling. So this is something that I've never heard of before. The lady, Janine, who runs her company, put this topic and ran it by me, so I was like, okay, I'll try it out. There were other ones which I don't think were as scientifically valid because this is a holistic herbalist company, and I do enjoy holistic medicine and traditional medicine to a degree because I'm still inherently a very scientific person, and I've been going through school with a lot of wariness to bad sources online. So I'm pretty critical of topics like these. But this one, I think there is some scientific validity, which I'd like to dive into. It is more of a pop culture idea. I'm not sure where Janine found this from, but doesn't matter to me because it was very cool for me to learn out. What is seed cycling? What do I keep talking about? So seed cycling is a dietary practice. And this is essentially eating certain types of seeds during the female menstrual cycle to help with hormone imbalances. So unfortunately for the guys listening, this will not really help you in any sense. But if you are female and have ovaries, this could help. So a little more into the menstrual cycle, because some of you may not know some of the intricacies about it, other than that women bleed for about a week every month. The menstrual cycle is made up of two phases. So the first one is the first half, approximately 15 or so days, called the follicular phase. Then in between, this is ovulation. Ovulation occurs where the egg is produced from the ovaries and it is now ready to be fertilized. And after that, the ovulation, this luteal phase occurs, which is the rest of the half of the month. So a typical cycle, as I said, is about a month, but it can be approximately 25 days to 30 days. And it begins with the first day of shedding blood, so when a woman first gets her period. There are lots of hormones going on during the menstrual cycle. There is spiking and dropping of estrogen, which is commonly known, and as well follicle stimulating hormone, which I'll refer to as FSH, and luteinizing hormone, which is LH. And so they all will typically spike normally just before this halfway ovulation period descend down. And there's also another part, progesterone that kind of slowly goes up and will slowly peak during the luteal phase. So you don't need to memorize all of that, but all I'm saying is that there are a lot of hormones going on during each month for women, and this can be pretty imbalancing for mental-wise and physical-wise. And what this seed cycling and this idea is saying is that we women should be eating particularly pumpkin and flax seeds during the follicular phase, this first half of the period. And then in the second half, as I said, the luteal phase, that we should be eating sunflower and sesame seeds. And it's typically known as more of a pop culture idea, but there is evidence that these nutrients are beneficial for the hormone regulation, and with all these hormones going all over the place, and it can balance estrogen and progesterone. And aside from this idea that these seeds can balance hormones, I just like to say that these seeds, like the pumpkin seeds, sesame seeds, flax seeds, sunflower seeds, they all are great nutritionary sources, and the fact that they have essential omega-3 and 6 fatty acids, they contain protein, carbohydrates, fiber, zinc, potassium, phosphorus, manganese, and antioxidants, as I've mentioned before, along with the Himalayan blackberries. I feel like there's a trend here, but it overall, eating these seeds have overall health benefits, which are beyond this hormone regulation and this seed cycling idea. And what particularly about these seeds, you might ask, are helping with these hormones? Because why seeds? Why couldn't we just eat something else and it would help? So what seeds contain, specifically pumpkin seeds and sesame seeds? They contain this ingredient or compound called photoestrogens. So photoestrogens have been studied more recently, and they are chemicals that are plant-derived, and they have estrogen-mimicking effects. So these photoestrogens, they can help improve insulin regulation and reducing androgen levels, and they haven't been specifically tested with the seeds, but the chemical photoestrogens have had scientific research backing it up and finding that it helps with regulating with estrogen, etc. And so, as I said, yep, the pumpkin seeds and the sesame seeds are abundant in these. And with the other seeds that they recommend, such as the flax seeds and the sunflower seeds, are kind of complementary to these seeds that add the extra beneficial fats and antioxidants. I tried to go into the most credible sources I can for this, because there is a lot of misinformation and I'd say fake news about seed cycling and this whole concept. So I found two articles. One article that I feel pretty strongly about that is good evidence for this, and two others that I'm like, okay, this could help, but there needs to be a lot more research, because I primarily use the National Institute of Health to find my sources from, and these three were all from this platform, which is highly, highly credible. And honestly, there isn't a lot of evidence still, because the fact that I could only find three kind of studies regarding seed cycling is very minimal compared to a lot of different other topics and ideas that have been explored, because they would have hundreds to thousands of studies to back it up. So this is a very fairly new, very, very, very new concept, actually, because these studies I found were all conducted and published in the last two years. One of them was published in 2023, and the other two were published this year. So this is a very new concept. And so we can go into these. And the first one that I'd like to go into, which is, I believe, the strongest amount of research, there's most valid, is this article that was published in the NIH, where it tested 90 women who were 15 to 40 years old who have, it's called PCOS, also known as polycystic ovarian syndrome, in Saudi Arabia in January, this year, January 13th, 2025. And so this was, I'm thinking of the wrong one. My bad. No, this is, as I said, the 90 women, 15 to 40 years old, with PCOS in Pakistan, is what I'm trying to say. And this was a randomized control trial that was conducted in 2023. And what they did was, this was a randomized control trial that had one control group and then two experimental groups. And the experimental groups were using this seed cycling concept, seed cycling diet, along with having a portion control diet where the researchers made them a diet plan. They found that it was statistically significant for the group that had the portion control diet and the seed cycling. And it was conclusively effective for specifically women with PCOS. That was the only tidbit of the study, is that it was found beneficial if you have PCOS. And I'd like to also go more into this condition because it's more of a unknown condition, especially for female conditions. People don't know generally as much because female conditions aren't researched as much, which is a whole nother topic I'd love to get into, that women are not researched or studied as much, but that's for another day. But PCOS and what they're finding with the seed cycling, that it's helping them very, very much specifically. And this is because PCOS, which, as I said, polycystic ovary syndrome, is a syndrome that causes hormone imbalances, just specifically for females, because it is caused by excess androgen hormones in the ovaries. The ovaries are where females produce and release eggs. And so, having these excess androgen hormones, women with PCOS, the high androgens, it prevents the ovaries from releasing the eggs at kind of a more consistent or regular rate, such as a normal female, and this has very irregularly fluctuating hormones such as the LH and FSH, and this causes irregular periods, missed and unpredictable ovulation. It does not mean that a female with PCOS would be infertile. It is a leading problem with pregnancy, but the egg is still produced, but just very irregularly. And this makes trying to conceive much more difficult process for females with PCOS versus a normal hormone balanced female. And this affects 4 to 12% of women. So this is actually a lot higher than I thought. I personally know two people with PCOS, and there are some symptoms involved which are very unfortunate for females with PCOS, because it can lead to additional acne, as I said, the irregular periods, excess hair growth, and weight gain. And going back to the study, so the seed cycling was done specifically for the 90 women with PCOS, because PCOS is a hormone imbalanced kind of syndrome or disease. And with this seed cycling idea that it contains these photoestrogens, that it can help minimize the hormone imbalance effects. Because by having more estrogens or taking more estrogens in, or the photoestrogens, which mimic estrogens, this helps with improving insulin regulation and reducing androgen levels, which are obviously very high in the Pecos, females. So what the study found is that when they did the experimental groups, the two experimental groups, the control group, I can just sum it up and say that they found it was statistically significant for the group that had the seed cycling and this portion control diet that was effective for the woman with PCOS, because the seed cycling actually reduced the TSH levels, the thyroid stimulating hormones, which are usually abnormally high in women with PCOS, and helped them a lot. So this is indicative that seed cycling can be beneficial and clinically proven, but only for women with PCOS. I don't see much evidence on just normal females without PCOS. So this has to be taken with a grain of salt. But also further research needs to be done, because I did find a second study that was not tested in humans. So this one was another randomized control trial published in the National Institute of Health that conducted the seed cycling diet on healthy female Wistar albino rats. They took 36 rats and divided them into four groups. So this would be 9 rats each. And they gave 3 different diets, but it was isocaloric, meaning the same calories, isonitrogenous, meaning the same nitrogen levels. And they gave one group a basal diet, which is a standardized research control diet, and then 3 different seed cycling diets. And they found that the seed cycling diet, which they thought would do the best, had significant positive changes in these hormones in the menstrual cycle, such as the FSH, as I said, LH, along with positive changes in high density and low density lipoproteins. You might know these from cholesterol, because these are 2 types of proteins that are found from cholesterol. So high density lipoproteins are good cholesterol, and low density lipoproteins are bad cholesterol. So that's kind of the ones that clog your arteries from eating too much butter or chips or sweets, while the other one is from healthy fats. And they found that the seed cycling has a positive impact on these lipoproteins as well. But the study was conducted in January 13, 2025, this year in Saudi Arabia. But they did mention at the very end that there is a need for more research to explore the genetic mechanics for these photoestrogens, because there's still very, very limited research. But still a very good starting point for future research to build off of. And the last one I found, this one is a lot lower in the evidence hierarchy, having case studies. We have the meta-analysis at the top, where it analyzes lots of different studies, versus the kind of the bottom, which is case studies and things like focus groups, etc. I need to look more into that, because I cannot remember all of them right now, but case studies is when they study one particular person and they have research on one person. So this was a case study done in India this year, April 12th. That was also published in the NIH, National Institute of Health. And this was for a 29-year-old female who has been trying to conceive for 2 years, trying to be pregnant, and she can't. She keeps failing. She has PCOS, the polycystic ovary syndrome, as I said before. And she was studied after she visited a PCOS clinic. She had all the typical symptoms of PCOS, such as the weight gain, acne, some fatigue too, and just from biological tests, she had the classic hormonal imbalances, the symptoms from the high luteinizing hormone, LH, and low follicle stimulating hormone, FSH. So this lady, she was put on this on the seed cycling diet, but she was also given dietary supplements such as myo-inositol and folic acid supplementation. These are to help the body kind of absorb more and help with insulin resistance as well as the seeds. And she was given the pop culture stereotypical ground flax seeds and pumpkin seeds in the follicular, and the sunflower and sesame seeds in the luteal for phases of the menstrual cycle. And they found that there was clinical improvement, because after 6 months, she saw, and everyone saw, improvements in she was having a regular menstrual cycle. She had a reduced BMI, so she went from 29 to 24. So she was obese to the healthy range now. She had normalized hormone levels, and actually in success story overall, the lady and her partner, they moved forward with something called intracytoplasmic sperm injection, which helped them create a high quality embryo, which confirmed a pregnancy outcome overall. So she ended up having a baby, which is amazing news. And the evidence shows that this seed cycling had a contribution to the previous infertility and helping with balancing the hormones. So that's a third little study that I found. But this was only one person and a special case. You have to be careful with taking research and evidence from one person, because it may not be indicative of all cases. And with all the research I gave, they all have their limitations, which are obvious because two of them only deal with PCOS patients. And the other one isn't even on humans. It is female rats, but we got to be careful with the animals. So I'm not sure if I'm entirely convinced yet. I do see the genetic potential for the photoestrogens, which are derived from these seeds. So there is a scientific base of this seed cycling diet. You can take this information for how you want. You can try it out. I might be considering just trying it out for fun, because this is quite interesting to me, and seeing if myself, who has a very normal, healthy menstrual cycle, and if it can help with some symptoms, because as always, we females have lots of symptoms from the menstrual cycle. So I feel pretty fatigued, definitely during the luteal phase. And for ovulation, I feel more hyper kind of in a way. But anyways, I might be trying that out. And if you are female and you're interested in this, you can try it out too. If you have PCOS, I definitely recommend you try this, because the evidence is there and growing. But as always, more research is needed to be done. And I will report back to Janine and try to produce a blog post about this. And we'll try to get as much science in there. But that is that. I talked for a lot longer than I thought, so I don't think I'm going to be getting through all the songs I want today, unfortunately. I might just switch right over to some of my electronic, because I think this has been the kind of move for the past couple of weeks, is doing indie/electronic transition. So I recently saw, and very excited to see, Catriona releasing a new album. In all caps, the album is called Ain't No Damn Way. Sorry for saying the D word. Had to say it because of the album. Don't hurt me. But I love Catriona. I have seen him already last year in September. I think it was September. Yeah, September at... Oh, shoot. What's that lake called? But Anyway, it was an outdoor venue by Burnaby Lake. I need to really find that name. But I went with DJ Star, actually, and it was amazing. One of my favorite concerts ever. And he is coming back to Vancouver this year, October 16th. And he is doing a Kachinada and Justice collaboration. I instantly bought tickets and I'm going to that. I am so excited, especially with this new album drop. And I'm not a big listener of Justice, but I like the electronic collab, and I'm really excited to see how this concert looks and it sounds like. I think it's going to be amazing. So if you would like to go, go for it. The tickets came out a couple weeks ago at this point. They're decently priced. I think I have nosebleed tickets because I'm a cheap person. I'm not going straight to the front. I can hear the music from the back. but yeah, this is... So I'm going to be doing two songs from Kachinada's newest album, Ain't No Damn Way. So this first one is called Space Invader. This one does have some lyrics, but the rest of the album doesn't. It's kind of like lo-fi house. House, lo-fi, more instrumental. I don't know how you picture it, but this is Space Invader. Enjoy. Space Invader by Kaytranada. I said that I was going to go more electronic, but I am going back to my indie. So the next one you'll be hearing is called Salom by the Ophelias. Enjoy.
Don't you know? I'm not the one. Next.
Show about the link between punk rock and mental health, hosted by me, Jason Schurz. I've been part of the music scene for more than 30 years. I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder, and my whole life was thrown sideways. As part of my recovery, I've slowly returned to the music that I love. Join me and my resilient guests for No Holds Barred conversations right here on CJSF 90.1 FM, Simon Fraser University, Thursdays at 12:30 a.m. And until then, take care and be well.
Welcome back. This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, community radio from Simon Fraser University. You're tuning into Slumber Party, and I'm your host for this last part of the hour, DJ Coco. The last song you just heard, as I slightly introduced and introduced a little wrong, it's called Salome, not Salome. It's called Salome by the Ophelias from their album Spring Grove. Nice song. I think indie rock, I'd say. I did say that I was gonna do some more electronic, but I ran out of time because I've been yapping about seed cycling for the past 25 minutes and did not get through all my songs, but that's okay. I like the topic today, and it's okay if we run out of time. But I wanted to come on here as well to give my goodbyes, because as I said, this is nearly the end of my time for my usual slot from 6 to 7, so wanted to thank you for listening once again this week. I really appreciate it, and it's a lot of fun for me to yap on here and for you to listen and hopefully learn something too. Also wanted to introduce the next show, which unfortunately is not Sociologic anymore, but it is now an open mic slot. So some good little tidbits on there and some information and music that you should definitely stay listening to. Also, if you are interested in radio and want to join a community radio station, there are no barriers. It is all volunteer and they teach you everything. Come spin some records, learn how to use the machines, and try an open mic slot. And then come for the 7 to 8 slot, because now I have no one for the next hour. And usually I like having a radio neighbor, and I have no one here. So sad. But anyways, just a little promo for this open mic slot that's now open. And then at 8 p.m., we have BitCoover with music coordinator Connor. Definitely stick around for that. Awesome show as well. And I think I'll sign out with one more song of the night. I'm not sure if this will last to the very end, so we'll see. This one I found off the Plex playlist created and curated by CJSF, which is updated every week. This one is called Sunshine by the band Sunwell from their album, which is called Sunshine, etc. I haven't listened to this one too much, but it is a little more indie, so enjoy and good night.
Thanks for listening. See you.
See you guys next week, Tuesdays at 6 p.m.